Ganesh for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon and live music that was recorded right here in Studio 2K during the Folk Festival. The acoustics in this room are amazing. You could feel the energy from Jake Blunt's band set Studio 2K on fire. Studio 2K is in many ways like Juno's living room, like a parlor where we gather around and share music from visiting artists like Jason Vio, or poetry from our own community of writers.
It's entitled Scores. In winter sunlight, weak but bright, scores of skaters enliven the frozen lake. Laughing children slide and glide, dogs bark, and from a pickup hockey match, clacks and clicks of sticks striking ice.
And whether it's poetry or music, Studio 2K is a special place, one that we will celebrate today with a dedication and time out to show appreciation for all the efforts that made this studio possible. Join us as we celebrate. And so that is the taste of some of the acoustic richness of Studio 2K. And we have some guests in the studio here with us that we're going to have something very special happen today on Juno Afternoon. We're about to dedicate one of our radio studios, and they're going to tell us, our guests, more about a big project to remodel KTOO's radio studios. And in just a few minutes, we'll officially dedicate Studio 2K to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. But first, I'd like to introduce our guest, Bill Legere, who is KTOO's general manager, George Reifenstein, a longtime KTOO board member, Wayne Jensen, who was the architect in our project, and Art Peterson, the generous donor who made the lead gift to remodel the studio that we are broadcasting from today. So, Bill Legere, let's start with you, and maybe you can give us some background on this project, how it came to be.
Thanks, Rhonda. These studios here at KTOO were originally constructed in 1995. This building was donated to KTOO by Alascom, which was Alaska's long-distance company until it was purchased by AT&T. And we moved into a big empty telecommunications building and built five radio studios here on the second floor at 360 Egan Drive. That was, well over 20 years ago, and the studios had lived their useful life. The acoustics weren't great, and they were becoming a little run down and shabby. So back in 2017, we decided it was time to approach remodeling them, upgrading them to today's standards, improving the lighting and the air handling and particularly the sound. So we reached out to the Murdoch Trust, which is a grant-making philanthropy based in Vancouver, Washington, and proposed a project to remodel the studios. And we met with the trust officials. They visited us here in Juneau and offered us a sizable grant to remodel the studios if we could raise local funds to match the grant. So we set out with our planning and design of these new studios and at the same time launched a fundraising campaign to be able to not only build this studio 2K, which we're in today, but 2A, 2B, 2C, and 2D. So we have five radio studios here at 360 Egan Drive. That brings us to a project that started in 2019. The remodeling actually started and came to a halt in March of 2020 when the pandemic hit, but we were just about finished. We have been able to finish it up since then and are now slowly occupying these studios.
Well, George, the board had its work cut out for it. It was an incredibly tall order.
Yes, it was. And, with the confidence that the Murdoch grant showed in our ability to respond. The board stepped up to it, and right off the bat, the board members actually contributed, it was over $5,000 the board members contributed. And then as we were reaching out further and really kicking off this campaign, the goal was, of course, to raise $50,000. And not only did we meet that goal, but we surpassed it. We raised $58,000 towards this project. And we were able to do that with over 230 contributors. So it was really heartwarming to see the outpouring of support for this project and for especially helped having some great names associated with it too, as to why we wanted to be doing this.
Rhonda George was on our board at the time, and we actually met with the representative from the Murdoch Trust right in this room. It was a conference room at the time before it was a studio, and I think she met with the board and with our development director, Sarah Schaefer, and with our engineer. And we talked about the importance of the project, and the trust agreed that it was a good investment in Juneau to fund the remodeling here.
So this room is quite a womb, a hatching place for great things. But it must have been just quite a challenge, though, to try to raise money for something that's kind of intangible. The radio station is on the air. People are hearing it. And to get them to see the vision must have been challenging, George.
To some degree, but it was also easy once we got some of the descriptions about what it was going to take architecturally to do this and just sound engineering and that. And it was so cutting edge, it sounded like to me anyway. And it was, and to many people, just hearing the special attentions that needed to be paid when you're doing this, which will be talked about further on, but it was just amazing. So it was pretty easy, to reach out with it, and everybody, the board felt very good about expressing what not only the need but the process.
How do you feel about what you're seeing right now, looking around in this studio, and it's replicated elsewhere in the other studios?
It's beautiful, but I think the cut you played from Jake Blunt speaks for itself. The sound is so good here, and I love seeing both seeing the pictures that we see on the website, but also hearing when the different groups come in here to play. So it's not just the spoken word in here, but the musical ability. How it's raised the level of what can be done musically here in the studios is phenomenal.
Well, it definitely showcases the tremendous talent we have in Juneau. So, Bill, we've been talking about how this room is so acoustically rich. Can you tell us what went into the design?
Sure, yeah. Lots of planning and lots of consultation with the people who use the studios. Everybody from our staff members to our community volunteers had ideas. We started with a process where we let everybody imagine everything they wanted in a studio, and it was a long list of qualities and features. But most people agreed that the deficiencies here were the air handling in the rooms. The rooms were noisy from the air handling system, and sometimes too hot and sometimes too cold. In the acoustics of the rooms. The rooms, particularly with the addition of a lot of flat screen monitors and, other changes over time, just didn't sound great. They didn't have that public radio, that NPR sound, and everybody agreed that we ought to go for the best acoustics that we could possibly get in the spaces. So that led us to work with our longtime architect, Wayne Jensen, who is here with us today. And, Wayne helped us move into this building in 1995. He helped design the renovations when we first acquired it. He was on our board of directors. So we brought Wayne back in to say, can you give us one more round of redesigning here? And Wayne, do you want to talk about a little bit about what went into this process here?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. One of the first things we did was engage the acoustical consultant that we used in the first remodel. And the first remodel kind of set the stage because in that one, the walls were all built, and one of the key elements there was none of the walls are parallel so that we don't get echoes back and forth across the room. And you know, so they had the basic shell to start with. But the focus on the remodel was room acoustics, as Bill has mentioned. And to get so we didn't have any echoes, so we had a mixture of reflective surfaces with absorptive surfaces so that you didn't have the echo, but yeah, you didn't end up with a dead room. You get this really rich, lively sound in the studios, which other people have already talked about. So we evidently were able to achieve that. So, but another important thing was the aesthetics. We wanted to bring it up to current standards, to more modern standards. So the application of the wood, decorated wood panels on the wall that also have some absorptive surfaces in them. Not only are they functional and really work in terms of the acoustics, the room acoustics, but they look good. And I think it, you know, really, really helped out. So, but we weren't alone. In addition to the acoustical consultant, Charlene Steinman in our office was the interior designer. She helped quite a bit. The electrical design was done by Haight and Associates, and PDC Engineering did the mechanical design. And those two firms now have been merged into a local firm called Respec. It's a branch of a larger firm, but they're still here. It's another Juno firm. And the construction, of course, was Brad Curie, a perfect fit, was the general contractor, and he was assisted by Carver Construction. Elcan Electric did the electrical design. Rainbow Builders installed the flooring. And it was a really good team, and I think it worked really well together. And, you know, they were able to incorporate the design efforts and come up with the goals that we talked about at the very beginning. So I feel really good about it.
Well, you know, Wayne, one of the things that is the big regret is that all of this was available when COVID set in. And so we couldn't have people in the studio, and we did sporadically. I think it was the day that we were able to bring Jason Vio in, and then again, we had to resort back to Zoom. But I had a wonderful moment here when Zool Bailey came in with his 300-plus-year cello and played in this room. And I literally felt like that cello was in a womb, you know, and I felt so privileged to be able to sit in a room with acoustics like this. So you somehow worked your magic.
Well, I think the intent was not to make a studio that would only last for a couple of years. This one's going to last for a long time, you know, and with the infrastructure that you already have here should serve KTO for a very long time.
Ron, I want to just point out that Wayne's firm designed the building that we're in back in the 1950s. So your predecessor firm's name was
a couple of predecessors ago. Yeah.
What was the firm name?
Probably at that point it was Sands and Ackley, I believe. And about that was maybe about the seventh or eighth generation of our firm. We're in the 12th generation now, so the name changes as the people move in and out. So.
And a bit of history, the original building, the side of the building that we're in now, was built by a group of local business people headed up by Norm Banfield, who was a longtime attorney in Juneau. They raised the funds to build the building so they could lease it to the Army for the Alaska Communications System long-distance telephone service. And so it's got a long history, and your firm has been involved since.
Right, and I think the key element, it's always been a communications center. So it went from telephones and telegraphs to radio and TV now. So it's.
And I'll add one more thing here. The first and the last program we did from this studio before COVID was a panel discussion about this thing called COVID when no one knew what it was. And we had the city manager and the staff from Bartlett Hospital and the commissioner of health and social services came in, and it was a couple of days later, we just closed everything down. So.
And I might add, this is the room that the governor records from or broadcasts from for Alaska Public Radio's Talk of Alaska show. So this is a room that has contained some amazing people. and amazing issues. So I guess we should probably turn to Art Peterson, whose help made all of this possible, all of this wonderful, beautiful studio that we enjoy today. Can you tell us why this was so important for you to contribute to?
Well, when Carolyn and I came to Juneau back in 1966, she was so excited to get here. She had wanted to live in Alaska since she was an early teenager. And so we've always been, as best we could, a strong supporter of Juneau and its various features. And one of the major features that came along shortly after we got here, but a little while, was K2. And so we've always supported the idea of public radio and hope to help it out. And that was my motivation, and here we are.
And so we are honoring your wife's memory by dedicating this beautiful facility to her. And also, maybe you could tell us a little bit about her, because the more I hear about her, about what a dedicated volunteer she was, how involved she was in helping animals and so many things that she did, that I feel like this is a good person to have this studio dedicated to. I feel this really good energy. So can you share a little bit more about your wife?
Sure. And I'm really glad to hear you say what you just said. She was especially concerned about animals, and she loved the wildlife as well as doing a lot of volunteering at the Humane Society. And quite by chance, a sketch that she did, inspired by our two dogs, Tionic and Kiana, served as the logo for the Humane Society for about 38 years, until just 2 years ago, when the name of the Humane Society was changed and the logo was changed. So she did a lot of volunteering there, and the executive director spotted her cards with that sketch in the book, in the various shops around town, asked if they could use that for the logo. She, of course, said yes, pulled her cards out of the stores, gave them to the Humane Society, and the right to use that logo forever and ever, and maybe longer. Mm-hmm. And then she was primarily an artist and just loved portraying the outdoors, whether the animals or the mountains or just the forest. And she did a great job of that. She was certainly concerned about how that was portrayed on the radio. And so that's all of that is what motivated me to do what I could for K2. And Bill asked whether I was willing to do anything, and I said, yeah, sure. And so I did what I could.
Well, thank you so much as one who uses this room. And this room, almost on a daily basis, has conversations about community and caring and appreciation. So I'm really excited that your wife Carolyn's energy is coming into this and her memory. George, you knew Carolyn. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yes, thank you. Carolyn worked at Hearthside Books for many years. My wife Deb and Susan Hickey were co-owners of that for 39 years, and Carolyn was a big part of that in our early days. She did special orders, and you know, anybody who's a book fanatic, you go in and you have certain books you want, and it's important that book arrive, you know, that gets ordered, and you love it when that phone call came that said, your book is here. Would you want to come get it? Yeah. So, but she was, you know, just a wonderful employee and friend. And when I was talking to Deb about it this morning, Deb said, well, you know, if there was one word that would describe Carolyn's personality, it would be gracious. She's in just, you know, just the most gracious person.
And so lovely. I love her photographs.
Absolutely.
From a young woman to an older woman.
Absolutely.
It's nice to have that loveliness represented here. So now, I guess, Bill, we come to a very important point. What we gathered here for today, yes, the unveiling of a special poster that will live in this room,
yep,
to remember Carolyn.
Thank you, Rhonda. Can you hear me? You got me? Yep. This is a long time coming. This, you know, we finished the construction in here almost 2 years ago, and we have been waiting for this day to actually formally dedicate it to match up with both COVID and with everybody's schedules. And so we're going to unveil a special acoustic panel that we had designed. It's actually more than a plaque. It's a panel that is part of the acoustics of the room. It's a sound-absorbing panel that has the same function as these other wall panels in the room. And Art, if you want to just grab a side here and see if we can tug this down, and we will unveil the panel honoring Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. And it's a colorful panel that has various photos of Carolyn on it. It's about 2 feet wide by 4 feet high and will be a permanent fixture in the room. And as I said, it's a sound-absorbing panel. It's actually part of the room's acoustics. And I'll just read the inscription. It says, "This studio is dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. Born in Southern California, Carolyn Hobbs Peterson and her husband moved to Alaska in 1966. And although she was a registered nurse, she devoted her gentle spirit to her artwork, music, animals, and public radio for the rest of her life." So, Art, thank you very much. I'll shake hands with you in spite of COVID. And thank you for making this dream of ours possible here at KTOO.
Well, thank you, Bill. This is very touching, and I'm pleased to have had a hand in it.
Rhonda, thank you for having us all in here today and bringing this moment to our listeners.
Oh, I was so excited to be a part of it. It's such a beautiful experience to know that a community can come behind a project like this. So many hands made light work of it, I guess. So I want to thank all of you for being here with us. Of course, Bill Legere, KTOO's general manager, as well as George Reifenstein. He's a longtime KTOO board member. Wayne Jensen, who was the architect for this project, and Art Peterson, the generous donor who made the lead gift to remodel this studio that we're broadcasting in from today. Thank you.